time for Today in Tech, the show where we talk about technology and news and Google Notebooks and Zuckerberg and Skype and tons of other stuff that we're going to talk about this week, and Gawker and new show names. There's a whole list full of stuff I'm looking at that we have to talk about, and we have to do it in a timely fashion because I have to leave in like an hour, and I even have announcements and stuff to go into as well. So before we do all that, I should probably introduce who else is on this call with me. As always, on the virtual Skype table, Kat, welcome.
Hey, everybody.
How have you been in the past week?
I have been okay. It's been a long week for me. My parents were actually in a car wreck last Sunday, and I spent the entire week with them helping to kind of take care of them. They're doing fine. Nobody was seriously injured. So my mom's a little banged up and bruised up, but she's doing well, and I'm back home now.
Well,
DSL nearly killed me, as you know.
Yeah, DSL sucks.
Well, my parents live about 3 miles out of town, and they have DSL through AT&T, and it's a decent connection for DSL, but not as far as, you know, what I'm used to. So I kept having to ask my lovely intern, who also happens to be at the Skype table with us, upload videos for me all week because video and upload and point three up just don't work.
I gotta be the backbone every now and then.
That's right.
Well, I've only got 0.7 up, and I do all this stuff.
Oh, well.
I'm hoping to get 3 megabits up here pretty soon.
That would be nice.
Three megabits? Drool.
By the way, how is Bradley this week?
I'm good.
Bradley's happy that his Christmas vacation started earlier. His classes ended two days early.
Yeah, we had a snowstorm. Or not snowstorm, but ice storm, rather. And everyone freaked out, and basically every business and service and school closed in the state.
Yep.
Off for the rest of the year, are we?
No, wish.
Oh, what?
Yeah, this year.
Yeah, this year.
I just got that.
Yeah.
I know, can you guys believe Christmas is a week from today? It doesn't seem possible.
It's pretty nuts. What the hell happened to the other 11 months?
Yeah, this year just flew by. Absolutely.
Yeah, it did. It really did.
There's been a lot of good tech news, and we're going to talk about some of it here in a few minutes.
Are we?
Yes, but first we do.
I don't like tech news. I think we should skip the tech news this week.
Well, what are we going to talk about? Christmas?
Mudkips.
Presents.
Mudkips.
You lost the game. Shut up.
It's over 9,000.
So, right. As I just kind of hinted, we do have a couple of little announcements. One, of course, next weekend is Christmas. We will not be having a show. Boo, I know, I'm sorry. I have kids to open presents with, and I'm sure all of you have presents and food and goodies and things you'll be doing as well. So in advance to everybody listening and who will listen this week, all three of us do wish you a happy holiday, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you may celebrate.
Well, what was it someone said in the chat last night? Happy capitalmas, or celebrating capitalism, or the capital aspect of Christmas?
Oh, yeah, isn't that what all Christmas is?
We could do an entire show on that, but we're not going to, boys. Simply suffice to say that I hope everybody has a good weekend next weekend.
Yes.
And Dylan, you know, I just realized we haven't discussed if we want to do a special New Year's show. We'll need to discuss that later.
I'll tell you what, if we can get some interesting people on, I want to do it.
That would be fun. So, to our other announcement, we are changing the name of this show. This is episode 50, and all 50 episodes thus far have been Today in Tech. And for reasons I'm not going to get into during the live broadcast...
No, let's tell them why. Because it's hilarious.
Okay, fine. So Dylan used to basically do this show alone. He's had various, you know, co-hosts for a time or two, lots of cool guests, but it was Dylan's show. Now that there's a girl on the show, if you shorten Today in Tech to the initials, I'm just not willing to be a part of a show that's called The Big Tit.
Yeah.
So we're changing it.
The Big Tit, hosted by Dylan Cole.
Right. And see, I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were like, we could just change the name of this to Big Tit and call it Best in Gadgets Today in Tech.
Yeah, no.
Nice.
No.
Kind of gadgets.
But after we've talked with the chat room, we've talked with, you know, a lot of people have emailed us and interacted, and we did come up with a name that we like, and hopefully all of you will as well. So beginning with our next show, our name is going to be Tech Soup. And the reason behind that is, if you think of soup, it's just kind of a mixture of a lot of different things usually. You throw a bunch of things in the pot, and it turns out fantastic. And that's kind of what we do. It's not only tech anymore. We talk about social media news. We talk about tech. We talk about gadgets. We talk about security. It's kind of that mixture that turns out pretty damn good. So that's where we came up with that name, and hopefully all of you like it as well.
I like it.
I love it. I think it's cool. And I did check. I did my research, as always, like a good little girl. And the only thing I found online that's named TechSoup is a nonprofit organization that helps raise money for charities. So it's not like, you know, we're competing with any other show with the same name. There are none.
Do they have TechSoup.com?
They do. It points to, it redirects to TechSoup.org, which is their org.
Can we buy them out or something?
You never know. I can check. You never know. We can look into that.
I want their domain. So, yeah,
the TechSoup. That's what we're going to be.
Are we doing the TechSoup or TechSoup?
I don't know. What does it say?
Why do we need the?
Yeah, I think TechSoup is fine, just like that. TechSoup.
The is just too generic.
Yeah.
Yeah, TechSoup is great. Everybody in our
This week in TechSoup?
No, we're not doing it this week. I'm going to go there and try to compete.
No, you don't understand though. Next month, we actually are starting This Week in Gaming.
Oh, okay.
I mean, seriously, we're doing This Week in Gaming. Unless somebody wants to suggest a better name for a gaming podcast, we're doing This Week in Gaming.
Yeah, the only thing I can contribute to that is World of Warcraft. I don't play any other games unless you count, like, what's that website I go to sometimes?
I don't know.
Yeah, I just totally blanked.
That's gonna be me and Jake and some other folks, though.
Well, whatever week you do World of Warcraft, you have to have me on there.
You could, get Lord Cat involved.
I'm better at World of Warcraft than you, Dylan.
No, he does This Week in Games. I do This Week in Gaming.
There's a difference. You guys could have each other as hosts or whatever.
Yeah, there's no competition there, and I didn't even know he did that until after I chose that name. We probably won't stick with that name, but I have another announcement as well. This is mostly for those of you that are watching live now and that listen to the show within the first 2 hours or so that it's downloaded. Or uploaded to the server, rather, and thrown out on iTunes and everywhere and on the site. If you're hearing this before 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today, Saturday the 18th of December, then I want you to go and tune in to geeknewscentral.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for my appearance on the Geek News Central 24-hour podcast. If you guys aren't familiar with it, Todd Cochran hosts this every year. He gets a bunch of great guests on. They do the podcast awards, the insanely popular podcast awards, every year. And I believe this is either the third or fourth annual 24-hour live podcast. They actually stream live for 24 hours and don't really take very many breaks and don't leave. I imagine it's very, very hard on Todd and everyone that has to work with him. But every year it's been a ton of fun. And in my appearance on there, I'll be on there for an hour from 10 to 11 p.m. Tonight.
Very cool. I will definitely tune in.
So I will try to get video or audio of that and post it on the site if possible, but I can't promise it.
You know, as we're talking about the name change too, I want to mention that we are working on some different directions for the show, some things that we want to do. Now that I've taken over, I don't want to call it the production end because Dylan does the actual production of the show and always will. But I've taken over, like, I'm going to do the blog posts themselves, and I handle getting the guest on, and of course, as always, you can email me about that. But also, I'm going to start working on, and already have, fun things, giveaways, contests, things that are going to involve all of you a lot more.
It's called management.
Thank you to everybody, by the way, who participated in the iPhone case giveaway. We had a lot of entries, and we chose the winners, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It was.
So that's why I want to do more. I want to be able to involve all of you a lot more.
So am I allowed to tell the audience that I'm disappointed in them?
Why?
Because not enough people entered the giveaway.
Well, you know, not everybody has an iPhone 4, and we did restrict it only to the U.S. and Canada because I'm poor and can't afford to ship things overseas.
So I am still very, very disappointed
from it. I really do.
Yeah. I am very, very disappointed, folks. You should have entered.
Somebody that I know darn well, I know them personally, and I know they don't even have an iPhone 4. But they entered anyway. So that was funny.
eBay.
Yeah, eBay. There you go.
True, I didn't think of that.
Exactly.
One of the winners has not contacted me back with their address, so...
We might give it away again.
Yeah.
If we do it again, I'm doing it on YouTube. I don't want to do it on the podcast again.
Yeah, that works.
We can do a YouTube giveaway.
I want to do some software giveaways, things that everybody can participate in.
Yeah, and I promised a friend of mine that I would do this. I got to give a shout-out to MTP Flyers, Mike, on YouTube, youtube.com/MTP Flyers. He does a bunch of different kinds of videos, usually reviews, product reviews, a lot of iPhone and iOS-type stuff, case reviews, things like that. Check him out, youtube.com/MTP Flyers. He's helping me promote my YouTube channel. In the past week, we've gained 39 subscribers.
Nice.
On YouTube. So that's, you know, I mean, 39 subscribers isn't really a lot if you think about it, but considering the growth that we used to have, that's a pretty decent little growth spike there.
Well, and you've never really done regular things on a regular basis, and now you are. You're starting to add content, you know, regularly.
Yeah.
So that'll help as well.
And while we're on the topic of shout out to Brad at techwebcast.info. Go check out techwebcast.info. I do that for Brad every week now. I want to get all the podcast listeners familiar with Tech Webcast. I'm just going to spam them with Tech Webcast.
Alrighty then.
Yeah.
You spammer.
Yes. Yes.
So how do you like our Skype call?
It's all right. I don't like that I'm on this new version though.
Yeah. Well, why are you on the new version?
They forced me to update, man. It's some bullshit. I mean, I got this news story here from Chris.Prillo.com. Skype 5 is forcing updates. Word is that no matter what version you're on, you're being forced to update. If you're on Skype 4 or 3, even if you have automatic updates disabled and you've told Skype to not check for new updates, it's doing it anyway. They flipped the switch and overridden your preferences, and you're getting the new version whether you want it or not.
Yep.
Until someone mods and hacks it.
Yeah. Exactly. So I don't know a whole lot about this. I just know they're forcing out the updates. I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't understand what's so bad about it. Why wouldn't you want to be on the newest version? But Kat, you seem to have a much stronger opinion on things like that than me.
Well, it's wrong. You know, if I have something set to not update, not check for updates, then why the hell is it doing it? It should never happen with any software ever, period. I get pretty fired up about that.
Yeah.
It's my choice which programs I use on my computer and when they update.
They're trying to take Apple's position, except Apple doesn't even do stuff like this.
Well, not only are they forcing the update on most people, if you look in that new version once you've updated, you can't roll it back either. And the option to not auto update is also gone from the new version. You can't tell it not to. That's wrong.
I've always been on the newest ones anyway. I was a beta user on the, you know, beta 4 and beta 5. I like the newer versions.
Well, can't you go to something like a File Hippo, get like the 3.8, stick that sucker on there, turn off auto updates?
I'm not sure. You know, I've not looked into that.
Well, no, they said the even if auto updates are off, it's still forcing updates.
The only way they could force it is if they're, like, doing it through their service and not the actual program.
Well, sure. Exactly. I mean, Skype is calling home, and home is saying, oh, automatic updates, switch that on, and then it's on.
Kind of makes me wonder if I start playing around with the firewall. Being like, screw you.
Yeah. Or just download the hacked version that doesn't update anymore.
I tell people in most cases for anything to update, but it should always be their choice. And usually for security reasons, you should update your software, especially Windows, Flash, and Java. Skype has had security issues in the past, but it should still be your choice. If you want to take the risk, you should be allowed to take that risk.
Yeah, I mean it. I don't know. I'm kind of. On both sides of the fence here a little bit. I don't like that they're forcing updates, but at the same time, I have to think that if they are forcing updates, there's got to be a valid reason for it. Maybe there's something wrong with the old ones. Maybe they're putting out an update that, you know, if you're on an old client, it's not going to work anymore. Something's not going to work the way they want it to. You never know.
Or maybe it's a conspiracy and they're following the whole...
It's an inside job.
Put a whole back door in your encryption for Skype, and then that's why we're forcing you to do it. Long stretch, but it's possible.
They'd be wiretapping your Skypes.
Hey, you never know.
Because they really care what I have to say on my little Skype conversations, I'm sure. Hey, Skype folks, I hope you're listening in. Hi, I hope you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, well, you know the government. They don't care anymore. They want to get everything they can on you.
Hi, Obama. I'm honored that you're listening.
Yeah, give us a shout-out when you do a speech and get us some ratings.
Can we get a new Baraka Flocka Flame video, please?
Hey, did you guys know that Barack Obama was not named the Time Man of the Year?
Good.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know, in my opinion, he'd have been a better choice than who was named.
Oh, who was it?
Well, it was Mark Zuckerberg.
Facebook? What?
Yep.
That, why him?
He was number 10 in Reader's Choice.
Yeah, right. It goes to show how much opinion matters.
Absolutely. He actually, Julian Assange, I think that's how you say it, Assange, was voted by the readers as the Man of the Year on Time Magazine, but that's not what happened. They named Zuck. And they actually said that the reason they chose him was for, and I quote, for connecting more than 500 million people and mapping the social relations among them, for creating a new system of exchanging information, and for changing how we live our lives.
Anybody could run.
Yay for giving the credit of an entire company to one man.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I wrote the blog post that we're going to reference later. I actually wrote it, and I was pretty ticked about this. You know, I don't deny or take away that the things that Zuck has accomplished with Facebook, it's phenomenal. Yes. And I will fully agree to that. However, does that really make him a Man of the Year? You know?
Well, basically, as far as I understand it, Times gives, I guess, their little opinions, whoever manages this little man or person of the year crap, and they say who has made the biggest, whether it was positive or negative, a change in the world. And they even had dictators in the past as person of the year. So, kind of wondering, okay, maybe someone else should have got it, whether they were good or bad or not. Maybe, like, I don't know if Julian should have had it. I don't really know.
I do. I think he should have.
I mean, there's so many people that do so many different things. I really don't know. It's purely opinion based. There's really no way to measure rate of changes for one person.
Right. You know, my whole argument was, as you said, you know, it's supposed to be based on who's had a good impact or a big impact. Okay, yeah, I guess his impact on the world has been big in some ways. However, I ended my article with, you know, have we really become so illogical with our minds polluted against what's real and necessary in this world that we would choose the creator of a social network as the most influential and important person? And that's my beef with it. You have friends. I held up my friend Mark Horvath, who's out there all day, every day, traveling around the world, telling the story of homeless people, bringing new light to what's really going on the streets of this country, and really making a change, and a big change, a positive change. So why isn't it someone such as him that's on that list? You've got Lady Gaga on that list, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Well, but with that kind of mentality, they could have said Steve Ballmer, Bill Gates, because of the Gates Foundation, Steve Jobs, that's a big one. Or they could have said anyone who did some sort of charity organization, like the Gates Foundation. There's so many people that make so many different changes, good and bad. I don't see how you can logically measure this stuff if it's all opinions.
I don't understand why it means so much anyway. I mean, I don't really care who's Time person either. You know why I don't care? It's because, I don't know, do you guys remember what happened last year?
No.
Time person of the year, the poll got hacked last year. 4chan hacked it, and they manipulated the votes, and when you read the entire list from top to bottom and used the first letter of every name and went straight down the list, it spelled out Marble Cake, also The Game.
Yeah. I remember that now.
That was such a win for 4chan.
Think about it.
Go on.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say it's not even a popularity contest so much as it's just a way for them to sell magazines and stuff.
Yeah,
it's... think about it, Zuck has been in the news probably more than even Obama has this year. Zuck is always in the news. Somebody's always pissed off at him, or he donates his money and somebody's happy, or he's being sued by another person. Zuck sells. Zuck is news. Therefore, they made him person of the year because they're going to sell.
Yeah, and it is. It goes back to the whole greed, corporate greed at its finest. We're going to sell more magazines if we put this person as the so-called person of the year. If you ask me, a person of the year means nothing to me. It's an opinion of a bunch of human beings that have no higher level of opinion that matters than any other human being.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't see a big deal.
I don't either, but everyone's going to make it out to be a big deal, even if we realize it's not. People are still going to be like, oh, Time Person of the Year, he must be important. Why did he get Time Person of the Year? Just like we're doing. That's why we're having this conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. And it works. So, but you know, it's just a thing that annoys me. You know what else annoys me, though?
The fact that I don't have a CR48.
That annoys me as well, because I applied on day one within an hour of them putting it out, and I did not get one. But you know, I keep seeing CR48, if anybody doesn't know, is the prototype laptop that Google has been sending out to people to review. The thing is, though, they're not supposed to be reviewing the hardware or the laptop or the case, only the operating system. And I keep seeing, ever since these started arriving on people's doorsteps, there's articles, I've got a CR48, here's what it is. And you see one little paragraph about Chrome OS and this big, huge article tearing apart the laptop, and that's stupid. Because Google has said that is not the hardware that's going to ship when it's ready. That is not the laptop. That's not the machine. None of it. It's going to be, what is it, Acer and Samsung, I believe? Yeah. I'd have to go look at the article. I think it's Acer and Samsung. Yep. Is who's actually going to ship it next year when the OS is ready. It's supposed to only be a way for people to help. What they're doing is getting people basically to beta test
the perception of what it's going to be.
Right. They want feedback and stuff on the operating system itself.
Yeah, and you know what I think it is? It's people. People are used to always going for the hardware first because it usually does matter, because they assume, okay, they're going to put Windows or Mac on this. We already know what Windows and Mac is. They got to understand this is a totally different operating system. And they obviously didn't read about the point that this hardware is only a prototype. So
I like it. Yeah. I think it looks really nice. I mean, I know they're not supposed to talk about the hardware, but I would. That thing looks really nice.
It does. It's got a 12.1-inch screen. It's got a full-size keyboard, a large click pad, a Qualcomm Gobi 3G chip, you know, 802.11n and dual-band Wi-Fi. Nice. It's got 8 hours of use, 8 hours of standby, webcam, flash storage.
What I'm assuming is a lot of these specs are probably going to carry over to the other manufacturers. This is probably what Google's saying. This is going to be the minimum standards. We want you to follow these and make them better if you can, but these, I want them to at least be this.
You know what I want to know, and no one's mentioned this yet. I haven't heard a single person ask this question. When Google released their Nexus One, we know who made it. HTC made the Nexus One. Who made this damn laptop?
Don't know.
Google doesn't make hardware, so I'm sure they contracted out to somebody else, but I want to know who made it.
Well, let me ask you this. Who made the Apple TV?
Well,
not
Apple,
the, not the Apple TV.
Google TV.
Yeah, Google. What the hell?
Logitech.
Was it Logitech?
Logitech did, and there's a couple other companies that make them as well. Whenever we see Google branded products, we always see the other manufacturers, well, HTC, Logitech, whoever it may be.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any names mentioned on this laptop, which means they either made it themselves for the first time, made their own hardware, or they paid out an ass load of money to keep it a secret.
Right. You know what I think is funny about the actual laptop, though? it's something stupid, but it amuses me greatly. Apparently, there's no cap locked key.
Good.
On the keyboard. There's no caps lock. So internet trolls everywhere are screaming.
No more caps in Pound Chris! Oh. All
right. Yeah, there's no caps lock key. I don't know if it's going to be that way on the final versions from...
Oh, they can hack it and map out a freaking...
Right. Or you could just hold down the freaking shift key, but yeah. I mean, it just that amused me when that thought struck
no
me.
No shift key. No shift key. Auto caps.
I read one of the reviews and it said, it's oddly enough, there's no caps lock. And I'm like, immediately I thought, oh God, the internet trolls are going to flip.
Yeah. There's no need for caps lock anymore anyways.
Yeah, well, Dylan, you're one of the kings of trolls, so...
Actually, Mr. Lawrence Chef is known as the Prince of Trolls. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, and I would have to agree. He's quite good.
He owns the domain, princeoftrolls.com.
ChefXP on Twitter. Got to check him out.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's a good friend of ours. Yeah, we need to get him.
You know, I use his music in the podcast every now and then.
Yep.
When I need filler music, I tend to use it every now and again. The App Store, moving right along, Apple's App Store has 300,000 apps, but what does that really mean? There were some interesting stats that came out. I pulled this from teensintech.com. I forget where they got it from, but I'll link to it in the show notes. Sorry, Kat. I just saw that I am.
Okay. Go right ahead.
So here's some interesting stats about the App Store. 67% of apps are paid, 37% are free. Only 8% of the apps are universal, meaning they work on the iPhone, iPod Touch, and iPad. There's over 50,000 book applications, 7,000 of which came from the same developer. Average price on an app is $2.43. Average rating is 3 stars, and there are 62,000 unique developers. I'm not sure what to make of all that. I thought there would be not only more free apps, but also more universal apps. And 7,000 book apps came from the same developer? What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know.
What do you guys think on all this?
Astronomical. It's just, it blows my mind, honestly, to think the kind of money that's being made off, you know, Angry Birds or... What's the name of that app that you love so much, Dylan? The streaming one.
Oh, web camera.
You know what it is?
Even the free ones. I mean, it just blows my mind.
You know what it is, though? It's free on Android.
But they put ads in it.
Yeah, they put ads in it, and because Google is so good with ads, it's probably why they did it. And then they come over to the Apple store, and they know people in the Apple ecosystem buy things a lot more than others. Generalization, not saying it's always true, but in general, Apple stuff is more expensive, so people tend to buy more. So they probably realized, okay, what if we make people pay for Angry Birds? In the Apple universe, people aren't going to care. It's 99 cents.
The question is there a 99 cent version on Android that doesn't have the ads? Because I'd pay 99 cents to get rid of the ads.
Yeah. I mean, I usually don't mind ads on iOS.
I do. They bother me.
Unless they're in my way. I mean, the ones that go at the bottom, I really don't pay attention. Like Pandora, for example. I don't care about the ads on there because I never look at the screen when I listen to Pandora. Now, every now and then you get a voice ad, but I really don't mind that because I'm getting free music.
Yeah, Pandora's ads, I don't mind. There's one app in particular. Kat, I know you know someone that works at this company, so I don't want to talk too bad of them. But I've been... Excuse me. I've been using Text Plus Free lately.
Yeah.
Guys, if anyone
their
from
community manager is a good friend of mine.
If anyone from Text Plus is listening, there's just way too many ads in the free version there. I mean, the banner ads at the bottom, I can tolerate those, but when I go back and try to navigate to another message and it plays a video ad, that's just too much.
That's actually good feedback, and I will definitely point Drew to this because they want to know things like that. That's the good thing that I like about Text Plus. I'm the one that referred Dylan to that app.
Well, and the app crashes when the video ads play. That's what pisses me off the most is not
it?
Even the video
See, I
ads.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't use it.
Yeah, it's like, and that's the only time it crashes, and it doesn't do it every time. I'd say maybe one out of every five times a video ad starts to play, it doesn't buffer, and then I click on the little X, and it crashes the app. So just something for them to be aware of. There's just too many ads in there. Too many ads.
I will definitely provide that feedback to them. That's what they need. That's what all companies need.
Yeah.
You know, if we're not telling them what's wrong with the things that we're using, they don't make it better.
So I hear Yahoo is...
Things fail too often, right, Bradley?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Yahoo.
What else is failing besides the Text Plus ads?
Yahoo is apparently at rock bottom right now.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
It has been going downhill for a while. It says Yahoo has hit rock bottom. They've now finally had their layoffs. Those that are left are keeping their resumes fresh and don't expect to stay there over a long term. Everything we hear from employees boils down to this. The company is in absolute disarray. Take yesterday as an example. News about closing down products like Delicious. The upcoming team is apparently wiped out, but a seemingly time-stamping blog post appeared on Insta after the team was gone, asking for feedback on a new design for the site. So to me, it just, I've always thought Yahoo was dying.
Yeah, people were using it. They have been for a long time.
Cough, Carol Bartz. Sorry, what?
Yahoo has one thing still.
I don't care. I'll say it. She's horrible.
Yahoo has one thing still going for them, and only one. And when it dies, Yahoo will be gone. Flickr. When Flickr dies, Yahoo will be gone completely.
See, that's the thing. I don't think Flickr will die. I'm pretty sure that.
No, it won't.
They're more focused into it because they know that is the only property that anybody cares about of theirs.
Yeah. And it's sad to see, like, Alta Vista go away. It's sad to see Yahoo Video go away. It's even more sad to see Delicious go away. Because there's so many people that have been using Delicious for so long, and they feed all this information into it. I don't know if there's a way to easily get it out or not. It's just a big question of, you know, there's people that have years and years worth of bookmarks in there. This is the part where you guys talk.
Well, I'm just trying to assemble, you know. What the whole thing, I was just reading last night, and I don't want to get this wrong. Somebody screwed up at Yahoo and posted that they were closing down Delicious, but then that was a mistake, and they're not closing it down. They're looking to sell it, not close it. You're going to keep your bookmarks. And honestly, most people in the industry feel that they did that on purpose. It wasn't an accident. They did it on purpose to try and drive up the sale price and get more people interested in buying.
Yeah, which is probably
and rude. If you ask me,
I wouldn't put it past them.
But then again, it is led by Carol Bartz, and you know.
I feel kind of stupid in this conversation because I don't know who that is or anything about it.
She's the head of Yahoo. She has been for a couple of years, and she's a complete waste. I mean, she's.
Wasn't it in the past?
Company has gone seriously downhill under her direction.
Wasn't there like some Chinese guy way in the past who used to head Yahoo or something?
I don't even know.
And then nobody could get the company afloat. People tried a lot of things, and it just made things worse.
And, you know, the article that we're pointing to where we're talking about this is written by, of course, Mike Arrington. And back in May, he interviewed her, and it was just, it was hilarious. He really dug into her, and she got pretty riled up when he said, you know, are you guys even a tech company at all anymore? And she got pretty pissed and mentioned his small little company. Yeah, TechCrunch is real small, let me tell you.
Isn't that when one of them told the other one to fuck off or something?
Carol Bartz did. She basically told him, fuck you, which just blew everyone's mind. I mean, I don't care how angry you get. When you're being interviewed as the head of Yahoo or any other company such as that by someone like Mike Arrington, you don't sit there during the interview and show your anger. You just don't. It's one thing to debate and defend and things like that, but when you become that defensive and go on the attack like that, it just proves everything they're saying negative about you.
Yeah.
So that's the way I see it, and that's the way from what I read, and I do, you know, it's my job to keep up with what's being said in the blogosphere. That's the way most everyone took it. She's a joke, and if Yahoo wants to survive, she needs to go, period.
Yeah. AOL's still around. AOL owns TechCrunch now, don't they? Don't they? I don't know.
AOL owns TechCrunch, yes. They bought them 2 months ago, three? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So AOL will be around for a little while. TechCrunch will keep AOL alive.
Yeah, AOL is about, you know, behind the scenes, they're about far more than, obviously, their you have mail or their, you know, internet service provider, blah, 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 blah. AOL has been quietly and slowly buying up a lot of companies like this, and they're a lot more of a force than anybody realizes in the industry. They really are.
Well, I still enjoy logging into mail.aol.com and every once in a while hearing the, you've got mail.
I have not had a, AOL mail account. I don't honestly even remember. I'm pretty sure if I recall, AOL was the first email that I had
when I first
got online in the 90s, and I pretty quickly got rid of that, and I've never had one since. I do have an AIM account still, simply because there are some people I have to talk to for work that use it.
I've never bothered shutting down my, I have an AIM, Yeah, AOL, Yahoo, MSN, whatever. Because I just put them all on Pigeon, and I really don't care to remove anything.
Fireman Rich in the chat room made a comment a second ago. He said, yeah, I like GeoCities. Built my first website, and it was fun to do. GeoCities is dead. It's gone now. I think there's still an archive up where you can download your old GeoCities site, but that is also gone now. They shut that down not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, Kat, what's next? I think we got a couple other things to talk about.
We have one other thing to talk about, actually. We intentionally didn't gather as many stories as we wanted, and we kept the others short for a reason. Because this last thing we want to talk about, the three of us, and hopefully you guys in chat will have some good things to add as well. Gawker, guys, we got to talk about what the hell is going on there. Everybody that's pretty much online anywhere knows about Gawker Media this week. Their databases were hacked. Not only did they get the usernames and passwords of the commenters, millions and hundreds, actually it's like 388,000 usernames and passwords, they were also able to hack the internal databases. So like Nick Denton, who is the boss there, he lost everything. They got internal conversations where stupidly Nick and some of his cronies bashed 4chan in internal conversations, and those were made public, of course, so that's going to be fun. They made this database of usernames and passwords public. The sad thing is too many people use the same passwords everywhere. Yeah. So now this has spilled over onto Twitter hacks. Twitter, guys, help me out here. There's a bunch of them. DeviantArt.
Lifehacker.
Lifehacker. Well, isn't Lifehacker part of it, though?
I believe.
Gawker Media is a lot of different sites.
Put it this way, it's a bunch of sites, and you're likely on one of them. Change every single password you have for every single account for anything and just be done with it.
Right.
That's all I can tell you.
What else sites does Gawker own nowadays? I'm not sure.
I'm gonna
Google this. Gawker sites.
Here we go. Gawker. I got it. Nope.
I got it. Gawker, Gizmodo, Kotaku, Lifehacker, Deadspin, IO9, Jezebel, Fleshbot. Oh my god, they own a porn site. Gawker.tv, Cityfile, Valleyway, Gawker Artist. Since when does Gawker own a porn site?
I don't know, but you know,
it's in the official list. They own a site called Fleshbot.
If you ever registered and commented on one of those sites, these hackers have your name and password. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of you who have commented use that same password somewhere else.
Yeah.
And what cracks me up is the list that was released there, and I don't have the infographic in front of me, so I'm going off memory. Somebody did up a picture, an infographic, on these passwords. 388,000 of them were taken. More than 3,000 of them were 123456. That was the password. 3,000 people used that as their password.
People would use things like fuck you and
the word
and Batman and
my password. Oh yeah, it's the top 50 words.
Let me in was one of them.
Yep. Yeah, QWERTY was one. The keyboard QWERTY.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And again, this brings up a whole thing. You know, that Joe used 123456 on Gawker, and he's lazy, so he used 123456 on his Twitter. So he spammed everybody about how he lost weight with it. I can't say it. Akai berries, Axi berries. I don't really know. But yeah, there was hundreds of thousands of Twitter accounts compromised, sending out spam. And luckily it wasn't malicious spam. They did it simply because they could. Whoever did this hack on Twitter, there was no malware attached to it, as everybody first thought. It wasn't a worm. Nothing downloaded onto people's computers if they clicked the link. They simply did it to prove that they could, because they had those passwords, and to show how many thousands of people use the same simple ones everywhere. And
so,
that's just sad.
All right. My complaint about this is not to the users. Users have always been known to create bad passwords and secure passwords. So even though everyone should know by now to create much more secure passwords, I'm not going to blame the users. I'm going to blame Gawker, and I'm going to blame any other sites that allows insecure passwords like that. Why can't you simply require 8-plus character passwords with numbers and letters and don't allow stupid shit like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8?
Twitter blocked like a list of 300 different passwords after they got so many hacking reports. And I think if more sites would take that initiative,
right,
it would help educate users, and it would. Yeah, I understand that users have a lot of fault in certain things in the tech world, but if people took the initiative, companies and websites, it would help everyone in general.
Yeah, it really would.
And then maybe they could make a blog post on the site saying, this is why we're doing this, this is the changes we're making, and this is how you can be secure.
Okay. Why can't sites automatically force you to have to change your password every, you know, 14 days, 30 days, whatever?
That would just get annoying.
Yeah, that...
It would, but in this day and age of how easy it is for people to hack this stuff, and people don't use secure passwords or don't use LastPass...
Then why don't we just stop letting... Why don't we just stop letting users create their own passwords, and when you sign up, it just gives you a secure password?
I think that's an even better idea, honestly.
LastPass is my suggestion, because it has
that's
a built...
That's what I use.
It has a built-in...
Who got you using
hash?
That?
Huh?
It was actually Bradley's suggestion to begin with, and then you convinced me, Dylan, to add it when you helped me reformat my machine. So it was both of you.
Well, I got the idea of LastPass because I listened to an episode of Security Now by Steve Gibson. He explained during the show the details of how the cryptology worked and how it was a trust-no-one platform, how LastPass couldn't even view your data because it was encrypted on their end with information they didn't have. So if he was to call LastPass and say, yeah, I forgot my password, you're screwed. We can't get it back because we don't have your key. So basically, nobody can get that encrypted information except you. The only weakness of this is how weak your LastPass password is. That has to be very strong, very secure, letters, numbers, and symbols, whatever you can think of in the ASCII format. At least I suggest 12 characters.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those who don't use LastPass, Microsoft has a password generator. You can Google secure password generator, and the Microsoft one is one of the first results. And you can specify how many characters you want, if you want to include capitalization or not, if you want punctuation, if you want numbers, and how many passwords you want to generate. I did that. I used the Microsoft password generator just the other day when I was changing some of my passwords. Kat, you've seen, because you have access to some of my accounts, you've seen those are some damn secure passwords.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah, and see, what a lot of these password generators do is they work by taking hash algorithms like SHA-256, MD5. I recommend SHA/AES-256 for any of your hash algorithms.
Yeah.
And basically, the way I do it is I use an extension for Chrome called Password Maker. And I tell it, you take the website domain into account. I put in my master password. It hashes that in and makes a completely random password. But it will generate that password every time as long as the domain name is the same and the master password is the same. And it will create something based on the AES/SHA-256 hash algorithm.
That's
that is good. A secure password.
You know, the funny thing is that I am, quote unquote, the security queen. Well, I'm up there. I wouldn't say I'm the queen. That would be my friend Tiger. But, you know, I've been doing the security thing for many years, and I'm even guilty, guys. I admit it. I'll tell you right here and now. It's not anymore. But Bradley had a cow because he's my intern, as I've said before. He helps me do some work. And I gave him my login to something, and he just flipped out on me. The password had numbers in it, yes, but it just was not secure in any way.
Letters, not, numbers, characters.
Not nearly as secure as it should have been. It was something that's easy, and I could remember because I had to log in all the time, and I didn't want to have to go look it up. And he screamed at me, and I'm like, you know, you're right, and I really have to change this because I do have access to some really sensitive things. Now, the passwords that we use for all of Chris's stuff, Chris and I have to use a document because those were created using something completely different that I'm not even going to say how it was, but there's no way anyone's ever going to remember them, especially me. So LastPass, thank God, I can easily log in now. So, but yeah, that's what got me started to change all mine. So when I installed LastPass, I, you know, set it up and got everything ready, and then I went to all of my sites and actually changed my passwords on everything and had it generate new ones.
You know, and something I just remembered, this might be something that you might want to see if Chris wants featured on the blog as well, Kat. I keep forgetting I need to put it up on mine. I'm going to tonight. My buddy Zane Savage posted a video on his YouTube channel, youtube.com/ZaneSavage.
Oh, I love it's, Zane Savage.
Yeah, good. Zane's a good friend of mine. It's a the video is a tutorial that will show you how to find out if your email or if your account has been compromised because of the Gawker hack. It's a simple process. You put in some information, and it tells you if you were one of the ones that were hacked or not. And that's very, very useful for those who don't know if they have an account on one of these sites or not. If you get multiple email addresses, you might not even know if you have an account, and you could be hacked and have no way to find out other than this way, and it's easy to do. Yep. So definitely check that out. YouTube.com/ZaneSavage is where you can find that.
Zane Savage.
The Jesus of everything.
Working on getting Zane on the show. So.
I miss that guy, really. I never really got to personally know him, but I found his stuff hilarious when he live streamed.
Oh, you watched him that long ago?
It's been a few years. He used to be on Geek Shed, and he did streams, and I used to watch him all the time. The guy was hilarious.
He was on. Remember when he did, the really good live streams? I'm talking like three, maybe even four years ago.
He even took over for Chris Perillo's stream at several times. I remember.
Yeah.
No, Zane.
He didn't.
No, he did the impersonation videos.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
He did the Chris Perillo impersonation videos. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely.
I added him as a friend on Facebook the other night. I had never really talked to him. And I was talking to Chef that we were talking about a while ago on Facebook, and Zane had commented. So I just thought, oh, what the heck, you know? So I added him as a friend, and he accepted it and then started writing on my Facebook wall about how great and wonderful I am. And I'm like, what? I'm like, you're the famous one. And he's like, oh, no, hell no, Kat, you're famous. You know, I bow to you. And then Dylan and Chef and Zane, what was it, Dylan? We had like 40 comments on this one thing, and it was just hilarious.
We were all fighting over you, but then it turned into just fighting over I don't even know what or who, but we were just arguing.
Mudkips. You guys were going to have to the death, and the winner was, the prize was me. And I was like, how did it turn into Mudkips? This is my wall. It's supposed to be all about me.
Mudkip.
So it was hilarious, though. We know some good people.
Yeah.
And you know what?
And Chef and Zane have had this little rivalry going on, and it's okay to tell people now, because it's public information, that they don't actually hate each other, but they argue, and they've got this big rivalry going on that they've had for years. So I think it would be very interesting one week to get Zane and Chef on the same show.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be fun.
It would. Absolutely.
All right, I wanted to make sure I clarified something in general, because I know probably people didn't understand what I was saying earlier. If you take something like Password Maker, which is basically a hash generator, it takes something called AES-256. That's one of the hash algorithms. Or it's also known as SHA, Secure Hash Algorithm. That's what it's mostly known as. It randomizes based on a bunch of equations. It's all mathematically based. You take a master password, which needs to be pseudo secure and random, and you factor that into a user text, which the user text defaults to the domain name. So they cannot get the same password as you unless they know your master password, use the same domain, specify the same number of characters to hash out in the generator, and use the same hash algorithm at SHA. There's a lot of variables, so it makes it nearly impossible for them to get the same password. That's why it's so secure. Math is infinite. You can go beyond and make things as secure as you really want them to be.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's why I say base it on hash algorithms. Just understand that how some of these things work are differently
Or just use LastPass. LastPass generates some pretty secure passwords.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. LastPass does the hash algorithm stuff for you, just like Password Maker and a lot of these other sites. That's what they're doing for you, running all the math so you don't have to be a cryptology expert. But it is secure stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, before we wrap up, guys, I wanna stick something in. It's not really a story, but something I want to encourage everybody to do, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
If you are a Chrome user, please check out the extension Chrome for a Cause. You can go right into Google Chrome. You can Google it. You can whatever.
Oh, isn't that over, like, tomorrow?
No, tomorrow night at midnight, yes. So you've got approximately, 29 more hours, and you can do a lot of good in those 29 hours. If you're using Chrome, please install this extension. What it is every tab that you have open, Google was going to calculate. And for every tab that you have open, you're contributing to charity on Google's checkbook. They're going to donate money for the number of tabs that you have open. All you have to do is browse like you always do. You don't have to do nothing extra. You can control T if you like and open extra tabs, whatever. But you're gonna, when you close down your session, it's gonna tell you how many tabs that you've contributed. And there's five charities that they've chosen, and you get to pick which of the five you want your money to go to.
Yeah, I'm
not
doing it right
money,
now.
Google's money. Google's money.
I've always liked Google.
You can choose from the Nature Conservancy, which is going to help, I believe, plant trees, conservation organization, Charity Water, which helps bring clean, safe drinking water to people in other nations, Doctors Without Borders, which is just my choice. That's just fantastic. Fantastic organization. Not even going to try to pronounce this other one, but it's based, I believe, in France or something. Works in 19 countries across the Americas to improve quality of life for impoverished families through construction of housing and room to read. So just for surfing, doing what you're always doing, this extension will quietly, automatically decide how many tabs you had open, and it will say, okay, you contributed 200 tabs. Choose which of the five charities. Google's going to send them that money. It's fantastic. And if you're going to do it, just do it. Please.
So, all right. So I've been doing it for
the easiest way that you can help.
So I've been doing this for the past 2 days. I've had this installed. Since then, I've had 154 tabs. And I just went through and did my contribution now. It says, thanks, you're awesome. Browse with Chrome tomorrow to keep contributing. So with 154 tabs, I donated 13 trees. I did the one where they plant trees. This is what shocked me most. It says, you donated 13 trees. And below that, in smaller text, it says, this brings us to a total of 6,099,120 trees donated with Chrome for a cause.
Yeah, see,
seven, almost 7 million. They're less than 1,000 away from 7 million trees.
This is why I love Google, because they do this really geeky stuff. To a lot of people, it might sound lame, but to people who are into it, they're gonna do it. They're gonna spread it around, and it's gonna be something more fun to do than just randomly saying, "Okay, I'm gonna PayPal this organization $25."
Exactly. People don't have the time. Yeah. They don't have money to say, "I'm gonna write a check for $25." People don't have that. Google does.
Yeah.
You're using Chrome anyway. Why the hell not use this extension that costs you nothing, takes you no time? You're doing the same thing you always do, and you're really helping out people and the world in general.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Google always does these kind of little things randomly, and it makes huge changes and advancements in a lot of charities.
I admit it. Firefox is my browser of choice. However, since this started the other day, I have been using Chrome almost exclusively just so that I could use this and do this.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
Yep.
I'm proud of you.
I wanted to get that in there. Like I said, you guys have, you know, until tomorrow night, I believe it's, I don't know which time zone. I just know it's midnight.
So probably Pacific.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll tell you. When you install it or something, or it'll be on Google site somewhere.
I donated how many? What was it? 12 trees. 12 trees just got planted because I opened 154 tabs.
Mine's been going to Doctors Without Borders, which is helping provide shots and immunizations for families that cannot afford them. Which
I've
to
been
me,
doing the one with the water.
Charity Water is a damn good organization too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to reverse global warming, so I'm planting trees.
Oh, you know, I am going to answer one question in chat. Sorry.
Don't kill me. No, it's the end of the show now. We can.
Someone asked who won the iPhone cases last week, and I totally didn't even say that. Of course, it was announced on Twitter. Eric Jess and Win7 Disco. I have DM'd both of them and also announced it through Dylan's Twitter. I've heard back from Eric, and we'll be sending his iPhone case out likely on Monday morning.
So give us your address so I can stop.
Right. I have not heard back from Win7 Disco. So I'm going to reach out to him again today. If I don't hear back from him by Monday, we'll choose another winner.
Stalking.
So thanks again, Griffin, my friends at Griffin, for doing this for us. I love my case.
Anyone use the word grin in a normal conversation? I seriously never heard anyone use grin.
Yeah, it was accidental, so
I know.
Shut up. Okay, spam. I love spam. Anybody want spam?
Nope.
As long as it's not spam out of someone's pantry, you probably know who I'm talking about, Kat.
Oh, my boss?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of spam in his pantry.
Why?
See, I'm not joking. There's a lot of ramen in there, too.
Okay, I actually really like ramen.
Ugh, I can't do it. I hate it.
I care too much about my health.
Loathe ramen. Don't like it.
I love it.
The smell of it sickens me.
I love it.
It's not that it's nasty to me, but I care too much about my health. Thank you very much.
Spam the unmeat, says Jeff in the chat room.
I agree. Dylan, spam yourself.
I am, of course, all over the internet. My main thing I want to promote now is my YouTube. Please subscribe, youtube.com/windowsguru84. I am, of course, on Twitter. Most of my tweets will still be me. Twitter.com/DylanCombsTV, and, of course, Dylan Combs as well. The live stream, live.combs.tv, and both of the blogs, dylan.combs.tv and lockernome.com/DylanCombs. Like I said, all over the internet. Oh, and Facebook, facebook.com/TheDylanCombs. We need more likes. We're like 70 away from 1,000.
Awesome. Very awesome. Bradley, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can email me at bradley@combs.tv if you have any questions about the podcast. I'm as Bad Santa across Geek Shed, Alistair Moody, when the holidays are over with. Twitter.com/AlistairMoody if you want to follow me there, where I barely tweet and Kat's going to kill me for that. And I believe that's pretty much all.
And Kat.
That would make it my turn. I am Kat, as you know. Please don't spell it wrong. It's not C-A-T, it's K-A-T. So if you're looking for C-A-T, you're not going to find me. If you do want to find me, you can email me at kat@combs.tv. As mentioned earlier, I am responsible for show content and hosts. Or not host, wow, we are the host. Guests, I need more sleep. You want to be a guest or you know somebody that should, email me, we'll work it out. You won't find me on Facebook much, so don't even bother. I don't really do Facebook, don't really care, but I am the Twitter queen. I admit it, I am addicted, I am always there, and I am Kat Armstrong on Twitter.
Go as follow always, her, she needs more.
Yes. I do. I only have a few followers, and I love them all. And actually, I don't call them followers. Remember that. I do not like the word followers and fans.
They're followers. They're following you on Twitter, therefore they're followers. You can have friends that are followers.
I like what Yamaza Zaru Ninja just said in chat. I need more slaves. I have two right here on the call with me. Thanks.
Fight me.
As always, we do thank everybody in chat. We love you guys. Those of you who will listen later, thank you. We appreciate it. And we'll see you, hopefully, for New Year's. Have a good holiday, everybody.
See you next time.